Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast, where we take a look at what's big, sad, and fun in this week of sports.
I like the new intro.
My name is James Johnson. I'm here with
Edward Dickey.
Edward, once again, it's been a little bit since we got together.
I was sick last week and figured we didn't want a podcast with Batman on it.
That would have been kind of cool.
But, I mean, I think...
I love Georgia football.
That's pretty much...
I would have just sounded like this the entire time.
It would have been really tough to listen to.
That's fantastic, though.
But so I'm feeling a little better.
Excellent.
Know, still not all the way out of the woods, but, you know, doing
well,
all right.
Glad, I'm glad to see you're doing better. It's good to have you back on the show.
Good to be back. How are you
and
doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing fine. In the midst of trying to get some work projects done. But other than that, things are going well.
You know, I realize... that this isn't what's going on, but whenever I hear projects, I always think of like a poster board and a little kid with crayons.
Oh, that's
like
pretty much, that's
like
what I do.
Like a school, school project.
I'm making diorama.
Diorama,
that's what I'm doing.
A trifold board.
Uh-huh, that's what I do for the church here, is make dioramas. So it's been a lot's happened since last time we got together.
A lot has happened.
So we're going to start with our big today, and I'm going to let you take the floor on this one because this is big for you.
Georgia won the Natty.
Again,
yeah, it's pretty wild. Like, I definitely didn't think we were going to win it again at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And then almost losing to Missouri, I was like, well, we're just not that good.
So you're one of those people who Stinson was talking about, didn't give him a chance, said they were going to go 7-9 or whatever it was.
I never said 7-9. I didn't think they were going to win at all. Stetson,
he's calling out a bunch of people who I don't think exist because
there are a lot of people
right?
Yeah,
because I don't remember any of the sports people here in Atlanta saying that.
A lot of people didn't like him at one point when he came on the field. I can't remember what game it was, maybe last year when he came onto the field to start the second game last year.
Yeah,
people were booing.
Right.
They're like, we don't want him. And now he's won us two national championships.
I do remember when he won the national championship, when you guys won last year, I do remember a lot of people saying, well, good, he's gone. Now we can get somebody in there who's, you know, a superstar.
Yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, luckily, and I think he's going to climb up some draft boards.
I would like to see him. I think he's going to be a great wide receiver in the slot.
Now, so here's what I think. And I think we all agree Bryce Young is the 1-1. Round
maybe
one, pick one.
I don't know if that's true or not.
But we agree. He's a first rounder.
For the most part. I mean, he has my build. He's exactly my build. 6'1", 180. So
he is the exact same size as Stetson.
Yeah. Okay.
And so everybody's saying Stetson's too small. It's like, well, Bryce Young's the same size.
You'd say Bryce Young's a little bit more talented, though, right?
Well, but
to pick for Atlanta Falcons, who their quarterback's going to be next year? Who would it be?
Lamar Jackson.
Let's say you had to draft him and had to be one of these two.
I would probably take Bryce.
You'd probably take Stroud too. I mean, over.
I'm saying though that like a lot of the complaint about Stetson is he's too small.
His size, yeah. Right.
And now I think he'll probably be a backup for a little while.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think he went from not going to get a look to probably go undrafted to. You know, he might sneak into the later rounds.
I mean, he can't do any worse than Brock Purdy, and look at what's happening
Brock
there.
Brock Purdy, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll throw a pick at him from the Cowboys. I'll take him right now.
Now we'll get into that a little later.
Now talk more about this championship. What does it mean to go back to back in the SEC?
Wild. Never ever thought I would see this.
It's been a while since we've had a back to back, hasn't it?
Yeah, but you know, at one point not too long ago, we were celebrating, you know, winning the Capital One Bowl. I mean,
right, yeah.
Like this is pretty bonkers. And I realize the fact that I said I didn't think we'd go back to back, but I think next year's going to be tough.
Yes.
I think we're losing a whole lot. And we lost a whole lot last year.
Uh-huh.
But I also think people have pissed off Nick Saban enough.
He was like part of the commentators of that game.
Yeah.
I could just see it in his eyes. He was like, no, we're not doing
and
this again.
So I'd sent in one of my group chats with some of my friends. They were making some jokes about Saban being there. I was like, you know, he has excellent insight into what it's like to coach in a national championship and what it's like to be in one.
Yeah.
He's just not going to share it. Like, I understand why they get him, but he's not going to say anything.
And he showed up because they paid him. I mean, here's a couple million dollars.
Recruiting
or whatever.
Let me get on TV.
Yeah, that's fair. That's good.
It makes sense. But
do you know what the early recruiting classes look like for next year?
Yes, Alabama 1, Georgia 2 for right now.
Okay.
However,
Deion Sanders 3, I assume.
He's coming along. It's going to take him a minute.
Yeah.
But man, did you see what all the stuff with Ed Reed?
I did not.
Oh, well, okay. This is basically he like agreed to coach at Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah.
At HBCU, and then he kind of did a lot of stuff on like social media talking about how the place was dirty and he was trying to kind of clean it.
Yeah.
And then
As in the
like
the organization, or dirty as in like the
like
locker room?
There's a lot of litter.
Okay.
He would have all of his team out picking up trash.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
That sounds honorable.
However, they didn't like that he was saying, my understanding of it is that they didn't like he was saying
that your campus
was
dirty.
Yeah.
He's just saying the truth, right?
Yeah, but so they then announced that he is no longer in line for the head coaching job.
That's terrible.
There's a whole Instagram live of him, and Deion Sanders calls on it, and it's interesting.
Okay,
but it was it's a sad situation over there. But best of luck to Ed Reed.
And in a few minutes, we're going to talk about what it looks like to call somebody out, you know, with the truth and get in trouble for it. But we'll talk about that in just a minute. I want to get back to this national championship.
Yeah, sorry.
Now, you've won two in a row. You feel like you have a chance for net three. You have a chance for three-peat, but Alabama's going to come back strong.
Our schedule next year is a joke.
Apparently, it's a joke every year from what I can tell.
I mean, yes and no.
How many games in a row have you guys won now?
A lot.
Yeah.
But you know, we did, however, have to beat Tennessee, which was
right.
They were supposed to be good.
And they were for a minute. Their quarterback got hurt.
Yeah. And they'll be a tough game for us next year. But
do you play Alabama next year?
I don't think so.
You play Auburn.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tech.
There you go.
I mean, we play Tech.
All right. So your road to the playoffs should be pretty.
Now it's gonna come down to what it comes down to every year, which is the SEC championship,
right?
And that, you know, it's gonna depend on who shows up there.
And next year is the last year that we're gonna do four teams. It sounds like we're expanding to 12 the year after that,
which I was against at first, but I think it's probably a good idea.
We'll see,
because I think we don't end up with TCU in the championship.
Yeah, well, you know, TCU had a good run, and they played a good game against Michigan.
Yeah.
They were outclassed by Georgia.
I think if
deer in the headlights kind of situation.
If like Alabama was in the tournament, was in that,
yeah,
they would have, and I don't know how it all should have, like, I think they would have been able to knock out TCU.
Expanding the playoff, I think, gives you TCU in the tournament, but not in the championship, is
yes,
what he's saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think
you're going to have Oklahoma, Texas in the SEC as well, so get ready for more mediocrity.
Now, I will say, though, I think there is going to be a boost in recruiting there because players want to play in the SEC.
Yeah.
As I realize how biased that sounds as an SEC fan.
No, that's true, though.
But
it's just true across the board.
Like, you know, you want to be in the SEC, you want to be on TV every week.
Yeah.
You want to be in.
You want to be as highly prepared as possible for the NFL.
And
you can't get anywhere better than the SEC.
Exactly.
For that.
But
biggest, strongest players.
So I think if you join the SEC, you're going to get better.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be interesting to see how Texas handles that.
It'll be interesting to see what I think is going to happen. And this is neither here nor there, maybe, but I from an Oklahoma perspective, as somebody who is mildly interested in Oklahoma football, I think we've lost a lot of players from Oklahoma to the SEC that now will be part of the SEC by going to Oklahoma. So it might actually help Oklahoma in a recruiting stance. More football players come from Texas than anywhere other than maybe Florida.
It's a numbers game.
Right. So, but Texas
it's always it's always Georgia, Texas, Florida.
And I think you look right now, I think half, maybe even more than half of the NFL quarterbacks right now are from Texas.
Yeah.
They, you know, went to high school in Texas.
Yeah.
But in any case, I think Texas will get a benefit from Texas is, I mean, they're supposed to be, let me say this way, they're supposed to be a juggernaut in college football. Only because you got to imagine every kid in Texas grows up wanting to go to Texas, except for maybe that's not the case anymore. I don't know.
I think the problem with Texas is the boosters.
They're in Texas, number one. The Texas is a terrible place. That's the number one problem. Number two problem is the boosters, yes. We'll go with that.
I mean, I've been to Texas a couple times. It's always seemed fine.
Which part of Texas did you go to?
Dallas.
All right, there you go. See, Dallas is not part of Texas. It is an island. Like Atlanta's an island in Georgia.
Okay.
Floating on an ocean of just redneck Texan people who shout out to Texas. But still.
The statements made by James Johnson do not reflect those of Big Sad Fun Incorporated. But
Dallas is not Texas. Just like Atlanta is not really Georgia.
Yeah, I got you. I've been.
Dallas is great.
I was in El Paso for about 2 hours.
El Paso's not too bad. I worked outside of El Paso for a little bit.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Anyway.
I think the boosters over there make it because it's like if you don't win now, you will be fired very quickly.
They have gone through some
and it's
good head coaches.
And I mean Charlie Strong was a great head coach.
They've just thrown him into the meat grinder basically though.
And it's like, hey, we want you to win, but we're not going to give you everything we want because you aren't exactly who we wanted.
Right.
Because we wanted to go get Nick Saban. Nick Saban's not leaving Alabama.
Right.
He's 700
right.
years old.
Right.
He's not learning a new like building.
I'll tell you who they should go get if they really want to win. If they want to win next year, they should go get Mike McCarthy. He's a local
are
boy.
Are we ready to?
A local boy? No. I just wanted to throw that out there. Now, before we do move on, though, to anything else. That we're going to talk about today. I want to make sure that we bask in the glory that is this national championship. And
it was a little anticlimactic, because it was a Monday night,
right.
Which
it's always going to be a Monday night. We talked about this.
Yeah,
before.
But that will never stop me from bitching about it.
It was also a huge blowout. So that's okay. I do have one question though. As somebody, I mean, obviously you're a huge Georgia fan, but I think you also have an ability to step back a minute. As a fan, I know that for me, when my team blows another team out, it's awesome. It's great to see that. But from the perspective of football in general, is that an entertaining game? Is that fun?
No.
Or is it good for the sport? I mean,
No.
What kind of impact do you think that had on anything?
It wasn't good that night.
Yeah. I mean, by the second half, at the start of the second half, only Georgia fans are watching the game.
Yeah.
Anywhere in America.
Yeah.
Right? So the ratings go down
drastically.
Exponentially. Yeah.
And I mean that. If you want one game to be a good game, you want your championship.
You want your, and we've had some great national championships.
Oh yeah, I mean the USC Texas.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah.
That's one of the greatest football games ever played.
That Vince Young situation. That
yeah.
Ohio State and Miami. You know. A couple
oh God,
years before
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean there have been some phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I mean, and that's just. It's like you don't want. Remember the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Where it was Mahomes and he had like three linemen out, and Mahomes was just running for his life the whole time.
He made some awesome throws, and then his wide receivers just knocked the ball down. And be like, I'm not catching that.
But like, and that was not a good game.
No, it was
and
not.
It's not what you want.
And then you had the other one with the Rams and the Patriots that was like 9-6 or something.
Oh God, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Where it was all field goals, and it was like, Jesus, this.
That
is
was almost like Roger Goodell calling down and being like, hey, we're gonna run this one back. And you guys,
just like, we got to do something. We got to be better than this. But, those in the moment aren't a good look. I don't think anybody watched those times. Like, you know what? I'm never watching football again.
Right.
But it wasn't a good look for that game.
Okay. That's what I was curious about that. But, you know, as a fan,
it was
good.
Great. Yeah. But I was kind of, even me, I was like, all right, I mean, I got stuff to do tomorrow. Like,
I remember when the only story I have related to that is obviously going to be about the Cowboys. But I remember when I was 12 years old, 12 or 13 years old, and it was Super Bowl 27, which, by the way, is the exact same amount of years that has been since we won a Super Bowl, 27 years. I was watching Super Bowl 27 against the Buffalo Bills, and we won that game 52-17, which was a phenomenal thing. But as Cowboys fans watching that, it was awesome, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize everyone else was bored by that game, you know, or whatever. But
it was awesome. We scored so many points. You see all those touchdowns?
I mean, that's so much fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, let's transition to our sad for the day.
So, your Cowboys, I will say, before we get into this, round one, y'all looked good.
That's great.
You know, like, but let's we Let, like
let's
if we if we were doing if we were doing the show last week,
right?
We would have said, "Hey, Because we watched that game together, and I was like,
we would have had so much hope and so much.
I mean, I kept messing with you. I was like, I mean, that's the greatest throw I've ever seen from Dak Prescott.
Because what did I say? What did I say before that game started? And I said it after that game. I said, Dak Prescott is not good. He is at best average, but he's not even that. So he can't throw the ball accurately. And what did we see against an actual defense? Not against an old, tired Tampa Bay defense.
And I will also add, the 49ers have done that to a lot of people.
They have. And you know what? You know what? We did it to them. In that game.
Yeah.
In that game that we just saw back on Sunday night, what did we see? We saw the Dallas Cowboys defense step up in a way that made me proud. In a way that Dallas defense hasn't stepped up in the last couple of years. Maybe my entire Cowboy fandom, I've never seen a defense this good for the Cowboys.
Yeah, really?
All right. Well, the early 90s, that was really good, too.
I was going to say,
but
like,
since the salary cap, since
there.
The salary cap's been instituted, this might be the best defense we've had. And we shut down McCaffrey.
Shout out Dan Quinn.
Right, Dan Quinn. Let's go. He might be our head coach here in the next, 24 hours. We shut down McCaffrey. We shut down Debo. We shut down Purdy, I guess. We shut him down. We let him score one touchdown. Yeah. We held him to 3 field goals in the first half. I mean, it was like tied basically at half. That game was sitting right there for our offense. Not even have to do that much, man. Like, not that much.
I think the biggest turning point was your running back getting hurt.
Yes, well, yeah, losing Tony Pollard, but losing one piece like that shouldn't.
Yeah. Especially when you have, I keep moving away from the mic.
That's all right.
Especially when you have Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
Who's, I mean, he's on the older side now.
And he's done. He's done.
But,
and he couldn't
do it. He should still be able to get you some field goals. Now, you have a field goal kicker literally
who missed another extra point. Got blocked, but it wasn't going to go anyway.
It's wild to see someone going through the yips live on TV.
If it had come down to that, that would have been frustrating, but it didn't.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We lost by a clean 7 points. And had we scored on that last drive, it would have been interesting to see what the decision would have been there.
Can we discuss that last play?
Yeah, we can, but before we do that, let me just talk a little bit more.
I would love to get
actually,
the X's
let's
out
just
of that.
Let's go ahead and get into it. So here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I think that play was about, as far as I can understand. First of all, Ezekiel Elliott, underrated, maybe the best center in the game.
Boy, that man,
he
doesn't know.
Over.
Well, so of course he did. He's a running back
snap
the ball.
The design of that play goes like this. All right, and again, Dak messed it up. But let me show you how this works. All right, so first of all, they're betting on the fact that San Francisco is not going to rush anybody because they put all their skill players out on the field. So what's going on
was
there?
It?
Yeah, mostly.
They
had a couple good offensive blockers out there, right? Yeah. So they did have a couple of athletic ones. But they put as many of their skill position players as they could, like you would on an onside recovery kick, their hands team, so to speak. And the idea there is to get the ball out to, it was actually to get out to T.Y. Hilton, who was down on the bottom of the screen. And he had Tyler Smith in front of him to block. Right. And so the idea was to get him out in space, create some kind of space and see what kind of speed. And then when he needs to lateral the ball, you have the best people behind him who can get that ball. Right. The play design itself is not terrible in that situation where it's basically 4th and 75. Right. And then you have to score on this play. I don't know what else you're going to do from the 25 yard line or whatever. I will say this, though. Dak, instead of throwing a T.Y., which is where the design of the play obviously was, he throws it in the middle of the field to a guy who is clearly not like going to do anything with it. Didn't even have the chance to catch and then lateral. Think about how bad that is. He didn't even have the chance to lateral the ball, which is just basically fumbling the ball.
Yeah.
Didn't have the chance to do that before he got his rear knocked onto the ground.
I thought that it was what is known as a ninja formation.
I don't know what that is. Tell me.
So you have center, guard, and then you have tackle. Out wide, your tackle's out wide, like lined up almost like receivers. Then another receiver, like on the line, blocking them in, and then receiver behind.
Okay.
But that wasn't it at all.
No, it wasn't it at all. No.
But and
it was some kind of it was corruption or bastardization.
I wonder,
of that, maybe.
Like, do you think he drew that up?
I it looks
on
like
the sideline.
It looks like maybe, but it looks like this is something they practice. Sadly, I have to say this. This is something that they if we ever get in this situation, here's what we're not going to do, a quarterback draw. So what's the next best thing we can do?
What also is weird to me is, like, why do you have Zeke at center?
Again, you just want him on the field. You don't want your center on the field. You want him on the field so that he can be there to get the ball in the next phase of the play. So to speak. If the play makes it to phase two or phase three, right?
It's a like Cal Stanford when they kept lateral and the band came out on the field.
Exactly. And, yeah. And that's what we're hoping for. We also had a band on the side of the field. I don't know if you saw that or not, but a band had been prepared to come out onto the field.
So I did
that,
not.
No, I'm just
I was like, is that, I don't know what you're saying right now, but I'm in.
But back-to-back seasons now, we've had the situation where we've lost the 49ers. We've lost by a single score, and we've lost in some kind of weird fluke call, this play design thing, and back-to-back years now.
Hold on. I was going to say this about Zeke a while ago.
Yeah.
I think Zeke can win you games.
No.
If you have a good quarterback and a running game.
Well.
That being said, he is making too much money.
Yeah.
To be, like, if he was still in a rookie deal.
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Yeah.
Or like, but he is essentially level.
He's washed. He's done.
He is the talent level of a journeyman quarterback.
Yes. That's a good analogy, but he's totally washed. Like, you can just tell he's done.
I think his contract? Like, how many more years are on it?
What's going to happen? He's done. So we don't have any more guaranteed money we have to give him.
Oh, okay.
So here's what's going to happen. He's going to get cut, or he's already come out and said, hey, I'll play for less. So I don't know how little you'd have to pay him to make it worth him being on the team.
I think if you can,
because he can't play anymore. Like, he can't. He hasn't had a 100-yard rushing game since a year and a half ago or something.
But I mean, I think if you can get a good team around him, it can be all right.
Well, that's true of anybody. I can be true of me, right?
But I mean, I think he can do enough. But I also think y'all keeping your coach?
It appears as though we're keeping our coach. There's some sketchy, weird, dark movement happening behind the scenes that indicates that maybe something else is going on. Although Mike McCarthy just gave his end of season press conference today.
Mm. Well,
and I will say this: I'm the first guy to say let's get rid of Mike McCarthy and let's get Sean Payton while he's available. Although it looks like Sean Payton's gonna go back to the booth and just wait another year because he can't have this job.
I mean, yeah,
that's what it looks like.
Because like, there's. I would, like, when you look at, and we'll get back to the Cowboys, but when you look at it from Sean Payton's perspective,
yeah,
like, what job out there do you want?
None of them.
Like, you want to go work with Russell Wilson?
No.
No?
Although I would trade Dak for Russell Wilson right now.
I think
their contracts are about equally terrible, so.
But, I mean, Russ is a nutter.
he belongs at least, with us then, doesn't he?
At least with Dak, you have like a good guy.
A good human being.
Yeah.
A stable human being.
I mean.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
You want to talk about the danger witch on your.
Here's the thing. Like, we're stuck with Dak for at least one more year.
Yeah.
After that, we can free. One more year, we got him, and then we're free. And if we don't extend him or whatever.
And I think.
And we can't do any better than Dak.
I think at the time you had to. Now, I don't know if you had to do that deal.
We didn't.
You had to, like, I don't know what else you could have done.
You could have let him hit the free agency market and see what the market actually was for him.
It wasn't that.
Right.
But at that time, his stock was pretty high.
And then, but that's what I would have done, and it would have been considered a risk, but you have to remember that from a talent perspective, I've always been low on Dak, like on his accuracy whatever.
I would take him over Carson Wentz.
I don't know. But here's what I would say. Here's what I say as far as negotiating his contract. Like, what I would have done is said, look, we're not going to tag you again. We'll let you test the market. And here's what we can offer you, right? Here's what we're going to pay you.
Yeah.
And here's all the endorsements you'll get for being the Dallas Cowboy quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, go be the quarterback for the Panthers, all right? And maybe they're going to pay you salary-wise a little bit more than we will. Not much more, if at all. And see what your endorsement projections are going to be. You're going to make more money here for Dallas, and we're going to be able to build a better team around you because of this salary that we're offering you. What we're offering you is legacy and Super Bowls, not just cash money. Plus, if I was Jerry Jones, I would do this to every player. I'd be like, plus, when your career's over, I'll throw you a couple percentage points ownership in the Dallas Cowboys.
How many percentage points does he have?
He's got 100%. So, I mean, like, I
get what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, there are ways that I would sneak. I just probably illegal and probably frowned upon in the NFL. But there are ways to get around the salary gap. Come on, people.
We found that out. But yeah, I think it's interesting. Now, would you want Stetson? Would you take a late flyer on Stetson?
I think it's I think he kind of has the most punchable face I've ever seen on an athlete.
That fits for the Cowboys.
Well, it kind of does.
You already are hated. Right? Let's just lean into it.
I'll tell you this: once somebody puts a star on. My feeling and opinions about them change automatically. I used to hate Terrell Owens. As soon as he became a Cowboy, I was like, he might be the best receiver to ever play the game. So it depends. We'll see what they do. I will say that.
But like, would you be?
It is time to go find somebody to start developing. Right? I would not be opposed to that.
I don't think you go quarterback early.
Not at all. No, not yet.
There's other holes on the team.
There are.
But I think
wide receiver being a major one of them.
Yes, and there's
running back, probably.
But I mean, I think you can if you take a guy. Late rounds, Stetson will be there.
Yeah, we'll see.
He can come out in a Stetson like a cowboy.
That would actually work out pretty well. Like our doctor does every time somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say, like, it's what's frustrating. Like, unlike with your team, Georgia, like, if we're comparing our fandoms here for a second, like, you come off back-to-back national championships, and you feel good of the direction of your team. Mm-hmm. You got the right coach, and you don't know what's going to happen next year because the talent that you're fighting against or playing against is really high, but you feel like you have a good chance, right? You're in the game. What's frustrating about the situation for the Dallas Cowboys is that we just ran it back, basically, what we had last year, and we did just about as good as we did last year. In fact, we won the same amount of games. We won an extra playoff game. If we want to call that
progress.
Market improvement, then okay. But this is a team that is talented enough and should be in the Super Bowl. So that's been one of my
they should be at least in this round.
They could have won that game on Sunday, right? If Dak doesn't throw two picks, we win that game. And the picks weren't necessarily all his fault in the sense of the play calling's terrible too. Like and clock management's terrible too. So my point being this, like,
so it seems to me it looks like the only good coach over there is Dan Quinn.
Well, and it looks like to me that what we've decided to do, we cleaned out a bunch of our assistant coaches today, I don't care. But like, what it looks like we're gonna do is just run it back the way that we had it last year, and probably with a few less pieces than we had last year. Mm. And what's frustrating about that is, you know, that it just doesn't, to me, I don't feel like we're gonna be any better next year. We're gonna win 12 games next year, and we're gonna lose in the playoffs. So there's no like.
I'd take that in Atlanta.
I know you would, but we have a little higher standard in Dallas, right?
Y'all are at a better spot than
that.
That being said,
I will say, you know, my mind about firing McCarthy and hiring Sean Payton has been changed this week because of some of the things that I've heard. And maybe you can speak to this because you are in the coaching world and you know coaches.
A little bit.
Like what one person said on one of the talk shows that I watch, sports talk shows that I watch, is that, look, number one, let me, 2 points here. Number one, if you compare the resume, Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton, they are identical. They are across the board identical. They both won one Super Bowl. They both had Pro Bowl or Hall of Fame quarterbacks when they did. Neither one of them has done really great without that Hall of Fame quarterback. And in fact, McCarthy's won more playoff games and has done more multiple wins in playoffs than Sean Payton has. So from perspective.
Who has a movie about them where Kevin James plays them?
There you go. That's funny. That being said, Sean Payton's offensive mind, I think, is what I really want. But the second point that I want to say is this. The second point, though, is this. And this is where I think maybe you have some insight. And this is getting a little deeper in this kind of show. But one of the guys said here, I think this might have been Keyshawn Johnson who said this.
Heard of him?
You've heard of him?
Yeah.
He was a cowboy at one point, too.
I know.
So he said this. He's like, look, let's just set all this aside for just a second. He's like, Here's what your head coach did. He's the first Dallas Cowboy head coach to win double digit games in back to back seasons since 1998. That's something you look at. That's okay. So that's pretty impressive. He did make a step forward this year from last year. You won a playoff game, you got to the next round. Okay, so there's that. In what other world? In what other market, in what other place in the world would you say you have somebody who's doing their job extremely well, who this year did it even better, and now you're going to fire him as a human being, as a man, to look at him and say, I'm picking somebody else just because I want to see what he can do, even though what you've done for me has been pretty dang good. And I heard him say that, and I thought to myself, particularly, you know, from like a Christian perspective, I was thinking to myself, like, actually, that's absolutely true. And Sean Payton, again, not markedly better than Mike McCarthy career-wise.
So we can cut this out if this goes to a weird place. What do you mean by from a Christian perspective?
Well, I mean, from let's just say from a good person perspective, right?
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
So, but even as a Christian, as a good person, whatever, like the idea that somebody that you hired to do their job did their job well, and then even did it better this year than they did last year, and then just to say, like, well, I'm going to cut ties with you, even though I have a contract with you, because there's this shiny little toy over here that I'm going to play with instead.
So
there's something disrespectful,
yeah,
maybe, about that?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I just wanted a clarification there. They're always, with the person who doesn't have a job, there's always is this little like, oh, well, what if we had him?
Right, you know, right,
like,
right.
And not to get into the politics of it, but like the same thing with Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where everybody, right. Everybody kind of has a little short-term memory.
Yeah.
Like whenever someone, you know, what is it? Distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like Sean Payton's last couple of years in New Orleans weren't good.
They weren't great.
And I mean, especially with a ailing Drew Brees.
Uh-huh.
And but it's the same thing with Kaepernick.
Yeah, I remember that.
His last season wasn't good.
Because I'll tell you this. Like,
but and I think that's kind of what
Kaepernick would have been playing, regardless of his political stances, if somebody had thought he was actually as good as that, you know?
Yes.
But people today be like, he's still the best quarterback in the NFL if he stepped on the field today.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just not.
Well, like, I mean, Madden made him a free agent and made him like an 88 overall. And it's like, no, he's not.
No. It's just like, you know, when you're dating a girl in college or whatever, and then, you know, a new girl comes on campus, you're like, well,
exactly.
I got a great relationship here, but, you know, but let me go talk to her.
What's
going on?
Well, and I don't know. It's this. And also, I will say,
it's a flaw in human nature, I think, is what it is.
Sean Payton would drive you crazy with some of his offensive stuff.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And again, that's
he likes to get a little cute when you just want to run the ball.
And I've also been the one who's like, you know, what I love about the Steelers, they stick with their coach.
Yeah,
you know, they've had three head coaches in the history of their franchise since the NFL. Yeah,
jeez,
they had Chuck Knoll, they had Bill Cowher, and then they have this
Tomlin,
and so that is three amazing hires.
Yeah.
Three since the NFL merger, right? Since like basically their entire existence, and I love that. I love the stability of that. Mm-hmm. I love the effect, and each one of those head coaches has won a Super Bowl, by the way. So there's a level of me that's like, I have two selves here that are fighting. I think if we can get some,
did you say is the inner me.
Yeah, that's right. If we could keep Dan Quinn. If we could keep Dan Quinn and get somebody in there that can change up our offense,
mm-hmm.
I'll have hope. And that's still a possibility.
Now,
for
I think what y'all might want to start thinking about doing is having Dan Quinn grooming someone, because Dan Quinn's going to get a head coaching job soon.
I hope that he's already doing that.
Like he was doing with Marquand Manuel. I don't know if he's on your staff.
Today, I found out that we fired our assistant defensive coordinator.
Huh.
Now, what do you think he did wrong? Like, you know, like what's going on? Well, anyway, all
right. I agree with what you're saying there.
We've had enough.
He is not the issue.
We've had enough sadness. Let's move on to something more fun.
Yeah, you know, I could go on that topic for a while. Good point. So
I could go all day. all right. So what do we got for our fun this week?
So as you may know, Chip Carey is leaving the Braves.
I did not know this until you mentioned it earlier today.
Yes, Chip Carey is going to St. Louis, I believe.
Okay.
It'll be the first time without a Carey in the booth for the Braves in almost forever.
Wow.
However,
is he Harry Carey's grandson?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
why didn't he go to Chicago?
You'd have to ask him.
Okay.
Right. And he's not available for comment right now.
Chicago's gonna be good next year with Dansby Swanson, by the way.
They will. However, on the short list.
So who's gonna replace him?
The short list that I saw is a friend of the show, Tom Hart.
Yeah, Tom Hart. Let's go.
And that's 100% who we are throwing our pound and a half.
The full weight of Big Sad Fun goes with Tom Hart on that. That'd be great. Who else is on the short list?
I just have
When
the
are they
going
to make a decision? Why do you come to the show without this information ready to go?
Well, I was busy thinking about the Cowboys.
You got me excited now.
Ben Ingram and Rich Waltz. Ben Ingram is the radio guy.
Yes.
He does a great job, but I think, he's fantastic on the radio, but I think he might need to stay on the radio.
So give us a case for Tom Hart.
He's been doing play-by-play.
Mm-hmm.
He does pretty much every sport in the world. If you watch SEC Network,
oh, yeah.
I've seen him calling girls softball before.
Yeah, like, he did a show here on, he filled in for somebody here on either 92.9 The Game or 93.7 The Fan. I can't remember which one it was, but he jumped in there, whichever one's affiliated with ESPN.
Yeah, he seems to be very versatile.
He is. He's
and
got a great
he's always
voice.
Very, very well researched.
You know, I talk to people who listen to our show, and more often than not, they say, you know what my favorite episode was is the one where you guys had Tom Hart on. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, that's cool. Awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. But also, like, I mean, come on, man.
I mean, I get it. He's a professional.
There's like, he's just got such a great voice. And like, I didn't have to, like, you know, it wasn't like screeching.
Yeah, you didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to do anything.
I didn't have to do anything. Like, he knew how to work the mic. Like, he's a professional now.
But, and I think his, if you, you don't watch as much college football as me.
I do not.
He was very funny all year with Jordan Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, he sent one of the assistants across the street to the fair to get them fair food so that he could eat like a corn
dog.
That's
awesome.
Like, you know, just goofy stuff like that.
That's great.
He
so this is for the TV job. This is for the
So he, you know, we'd hear him going swing and a drive.
That's gonna be awesome.
It'd be the play by play.
What do we got to do to help get him into that role?
I don't know.
We got to tweet some
support.
Get some tweets out there.
I'll tweet at Blooper. We'll make it happen.
I know they're about to offer up like the Braves are offering up stock in the team or whatever. Should we buy a majority share of the stock?
I mean, if you're buying, yeah.
If we take up a collection amongst our friends and family.
Everybody Venmo me $2. Well, and I will lead us to salvation.
Can we start a Kickstarter campaign? We would like to buy the Atlanta Braves.
Just see me five states away.
That would be fantastic.
But yeah, no, I think he is very entertaining.
Yes.
And obviously I realize I'm biased.
Right. But still.
But I think he does a great job. If the man can call, I'm cursing too much on this
show.
It's
all right.
If he can call the KBO, the Korean Baseball League, and make that fun.
Then he's ready. He's
for
ready.
For a, I'm pretty sure I was the only person watching it. I needed sports in my life in 2020. So I would stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning to watch the KBO.
Like we were watching the Australian League football or whatever.
Yes. At one point, his son came downstairs to pick up his book bag out of the basement.
Yeah.
And his son got on the mic and called like a pitch of the KBO.
Oh, that's great.
Like
that's
just goofy stuff like that. But if he can do that, he can definitely
absolutely
call the Braves.
Absolutely. Well, that's great, man. Tom, we're cheering for you. We're rooting for you. Hope you get the gig. Look forward to hearing your voice and seeing your face on the TV.
For sure.
Braves are going to be good this year.
I'm
another 100-game season, I'm sure.
I mean, Ronald Acuña is, you know, celebrating in the Venezuelan League.
Oh my gosh, that was a great team.
Did you see that?
I heard about the roster on the team. I didn't actually watch it.
Oh, but he had the celebration that was like the Venezuelan League got mad at him.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, maybe we turn it down a little bit. I love the fun.
Just have a good time. Let's go.
Yeah, it was wild. But all right, yeah.
All right. Well, Edward, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.